This podcast brought to you by Gowin Canada, makers of Edge Microactive pre-emergent herbicide.
620 CKRM is proud to be your voice for everything ag. Welcome to SaskAg Today with your host, Ryan Young.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to SaskAg Today. It's brought to you by Milligan Bio, the leading buyer of heated and damaged canola in Saskatchewan, wants to buy your seed. Visit MilliganBio.com. And brought to you by the Arcola Co-op. You're at home here on Highway 13 in Arcola. On today's show, to start the brand new work week, Adam Piccalo with PI Financial shares insight on Thursday's USDA report. And Protein Industries Canada is investing over $13 million to support commercialization of high-protein canola seed and sunflower meal. More on that with Bill Grohl, the CEO of Protein Industries Canada. The Farm Precision Weather with Phil Spivak is in its usual spot at the bottom of the hour. You're listening to Sask Ag Today on the Voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM. Up first is a little bit of my conversation with Bill Grohl about the investment Regina-based Protein Industries Canada has made.
This is Sask Ag Today with 620 CKRM Ag News Director Ryan Young.
Sask Ag Today is brought to you by Johnston's Grain, your first and last stop for grain pricing and crop protection, and Farm Fresh Water. To fix your water problems, visit farmfreshwater.ca. A $31 million investment is being made towards what Protein Industries Canada calls supporting the commercialization of high-protein canola seed as well as sunflower meal. In other words, the investment will help increase demand and market opportunities for these products that will eventually be used in the aquaculture, feed, and food sectors, as well as improve a wide range of plant-based food applications. The organization is investing $13.4 million, and the remainder covered by a consortium of companies involved: Corteva Agriscience, Botanico, Bunge, Rainfed Foods, and Northeast Nutrition Incorporated. CEO of Protein Industries Canada, Bill Grohl, says it's the second step of the process that began about 4 years ago with the first round of funding towards some of the foundational breeding work and genomics work to produce high-protein canola.
You know, plant breeding is a long-term game when companies are looking at introducing new traits, you know, high-protein canola being one of them, into the marketplace. That's a 10-year time horizon because plant breeding is relatively slow. So this is exactly that. It's about taking the work that we funded and supported in the first fund and making sure that it's reaching its full commercial potential in Western Canadian canola over the course of the next 5 years that we'll be funding this project.
He explains how this investment will help each company.
So what we've done in this project, and this is a great example of what I would call verticals of the value chain collaborating together for the benefit of the sector. So you've got Corteva from a genetics perspective. You've got both Botanico and Bunge. Those I would call, you know, ingredient manufacturers. Bunge may be a more traditional canola crusher that can bring high volume of high protein, low fiber meal to the marketplace. Botanico has very unique processing capacity and capabilities. They're interested in the high protein canola because the way they process its applications in aquaculture feed market. And then if you keep moving up the value chain, you've got Rainfed Foods, which is using some of the other products that Botanico uses from their unique processing capacity for the production of alternative milk products. And Cook Northeast Nutrition, which is a division of Cook Agriculture, which is Canada's largest aquafeed company, utilizing these products as testing in for salmon and different aquaculture feed markets. So, you know, this is a consortia that came together that all saw value in taking the genetics of Corteva, using that in a processing facility to produce new and novel ingredients, and then again, using that to create consumer-ready products in the form of new foods and new feeds.
He says it's all part of a goal to create a $25 billion industry by the year 2035.
That overall goal of $25 billion is really looking at you know, the value of what the value out of agriculture and food processing industry could be by 2035. And that encompasses not only enhanced canola processing and the value of meal, it's also other processed crops such as peas and other pulses. And then the production of food, feed, and bioproducts on the other side of that. I think it's important to recognize in with your question, Ryan, is that all of this starts with genetics. And we really got to make sure that we've got the right feedstock so that processors are more efficient. And so in this case, the more higher protein we can put in the feedstock going into the canola crush facilities, the higher value the products coming out the other end are. So, you know, there's more value for farmers, there's more value for processors, more value for feed companies on the other end. So the value gets magnified across the value chain when you invest in genetics like this.
That's Bill Grohl with Regina-based Protein Industries Canada. Coming up next on the program, I spoke with Adam Bacallo this morning on Thursday. He mentioned a little bit about a USDA report being released that day, and he had a chance over the long weekend to sift through the report and come back with his thoughts on it. We'll hear more right after the break.
We're back with Sask Ag Today with Ryan Young on 620 CKRM.
Welcome back. A report from the United States Department of Agriculture didn't contain too many surprises. Future commodity advisor with PI Financial, Adam Bacallo, felt that way about the report for corn and soybean acreage released on Thursday.
Starting off on the soybean side of things, it was a neutral to bearish kind of report from the USDA, but prices did hold. It didn't really offer much for the bull camp, as acres were nearly right in the estimates and quarterly stocks were above guesses. The total U.S. crop acres for soybeans were down about 6.4 million from last year, as the lower prices really has the farmer hesitant in the U.S. to plant marginal acres. On-farm stocks were up about 24% from last year, while off-farm stocks were down 3%. Combined bean and corn acreage was 1.7 million acres below the total of 2023. The U.S. crop area under drought shrunk 9% last week to 21%. So kind of looking at a few things as well, too. And on the corn side, the acres were actually a little bit bullish. That was kind of the surprise number for the corn side. Also, stocks were slightly below estimates as well, too. So we did see an initial reaction higher on the corn side of things. Again, today we're down about 8 cents, so giving up about half of the gain that we saw on Friday. And then finally, on the wheat side, there is really no surprise on the wheat side for bulls, people expecting the markets to go up here. There was really larger than expected acres on the wheat side, and as well larger than expected stocks. The lone, I would say, bright spot was the larger than expected decline in soft red winter acres. So that kind of was a positive kind of maybe spillover for wheat, as well as kind of the corn markets going higher, just kind of lended support. But here today in trading, we are seeing really wheat markets down about 10 cents a bushel across all three contracts.
All right, so that kind of sounds like this report was kind of a expected seeded acreage report.
Yeah, I would say it was pretty well expected across the board. Again, maybe a little bit bearish again for the soy side of the markets, bullish for the corn side, and then for wheat, kind of no surprises, more neutral.
All right, and how do you think that's going to set the tone for this week and up until the next report comes out?
Well, again, on the corn side, maybe is one to watch because of kind of the record short that we are kind of seeing there. So we did maybe see a bit of covering. However, I think traders are kind of looking at maybe as an opportunity to go short again, which is why we're seeing it down here today. So kind of there's, I would say, a lot of red on the screens across the board, except for really canola up today, still about $4 a ton with the soybean oil market.
That's Adam Bacallo with PI Financial, based in Winnipeg. Up next is Ag Review with Doug Faulkner. He has some good stuff, as he'll have the latest agriculture headlines, followed by the Farm Precision Weather Forecast with Phil Spivak. Looking pretty good there as well. Keep it tuned here to 620 CKRM. Sask Ag Today will return right after these messages.
You're tuned in to Sask Ag Today on your voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
Today's Ag Review with Doug Falconer of GX94 is brought to you by Karst Holdings, an Assiniboia and Schlamps Integra Tire in Grenfell, your locally owned Integra Tire dealers, and My Grain Exchange. Ready to market your 2023 crop? Head over to MyGrainExchange.com and try their low-risk grain auctions.
The union that represents more than 9,000 CN and CPKC railway workers is organizing a vote to approve strike action, raising the prospects of a rail work stoppage as early as late May if several deals are not reached before then. Members of the Teamsters Canada Rail Conference, or TCRC, will begin voting electronically on April 8th on whether to give their representatives the option of moving ahead with a strike. The negotiations and strike vote revolve around three collective bargaining contracts that expired on December 31, 2023, affecting nearly 6,000 conductors, locomotive engineers, and yard workers at CN, nearly 3,200 conductors, locomotive engineers, and yard workers at CPKC, and around 80 or 90 rail traffic controllers at CPKC. Labor Minister Seamus O'Regan appointed federal mediators for each of the three agreements on March 1st upon the request of both CN and CPKC, which set in motion a 60-day timeline to resolve the labor disputes through conciliation. Cargill and its customers have renewed a program that would ensure beef producers receive at least $400 for being certified under the Canadian Roundtable for Sustainable Beef, or CRSB. The program, piloted last year, tops up payments of Cargill's qualifying cattle credits for animals processed in 2023 to $400. It will be paid to certified operations regardless of if those cattle were ultimately sold to Cargill. Producers who received $400 or more in credits last year won't qualify. Operations don't need to apply for the top-up credit. If they had an active certification at the beginning of the year, they can expect payment in April. While demand for certified sustainable beef is reportedly high, the program has seen criticism for low return on investment to cattle producers. Animals have also been found to drop out of the certification system, which requires them to pass through certified operations at every step on the value chain, one factor behind updates to the CRSB's tracking system late last year. The outbreak of highly pathogenic avian influenza cases in dairy cattle has spread from two states to five, with new cases confirmed in Michigan and more presumptive positive tests in Idaho and New Mexico, according to federal officials there. The USDA, the Food and Drug Administration, and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention are reporting more cases of an illness among dairy cows that is causing decreased lactation, low appetite, and other symptoms. This follows reports on March 25th of highly pathogenic avian influenza in two dairy herds in Texas and two herds in Kansas. State officials in Michigan and Idaho each stated that the affected dairies in their states had received the dairy cows from farms in Texas. The USDA's National Veterinary Services Laboratories confirmed avian flu in a Michigan dairy herd that had recently received cows from an affected farm in Texas. That could change the dynamics of the outbreak, indicating cow-to-cow transmission could be possible. And that's today's Ag Review. I'm Doug Falk.
It's your Sask Ag Today weather on your voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
The official 620 CKRM Farm Precision Weather is brought to you by Shepherd Realty in Regina, specializing in farm and ranch real estate in Saskatchewan. Call Harry, Justin, or Devin at 352-1866. And Moose Jaw Truck Shop, the number one choice for any diesel engine repair. Drop in, no appointment necessary, or visit moosejawtruckshop.com.
I'm here with Phil Spivak from Precision Weather. And Phil, looking at the forecast for today, it's looking really good, a high of 9 degrees.
Yeah, slow moving thanks to the early cloud cover, but that is decreasing. And as the day goes on, it'll continue to thin out, likely still some cloud cover, at least most of the time. But overall, a nice day. And as mentioned, as we clear that out, as the cloud cover decreases, that will help to get those temperatures boosting up. So right about where we should be this time of year, normal high of 7. So we're pretty close to that, getting right about to 9 this afternoon. Also, the wind coming down, it's been fairly breezy at times. We've seen gusts, we've seen sustained winds, even upwards of 30. Now the gusts at this point in the mid-30s, and the gusts will subside. The sustained winds will subside through the afternoon as well, likely into the 15 to 30 range, and then 10 to 20 by tonight, with a mainly clear sky, will drop off to around -4 overnight. Very much like today. Tomorrow, the difference being we start with a clear sky and finish with a clear sky. It's mostly sunny. Temperature, though, right around that 8-degree mark for the afternoon. Partly cloudy, -3 for tomorrow night, and might even be overstayed in the cloud cover tomorrow. There's some that'll move in through the night, mainly clear most of the time, likely a period, though, of some cloud cover. So we'll call it partly cloudy. It could be, 1% part, still a part. Mostly sunny on Wednesday with a high up to 16 degrees. And that's where we are, not only for Wednesday, but for Thursday and Friday, and likely Saturday, Sunday, and thinking Monday, maybe Tuesday as well next week. We're going to be staying into this stretch of mild, very consistent weather, very dry weather, and temperatures in the teens each day.
Thank you very much, Phil. The normal highs for this time of year, 7 degrees, the lows, -6. Sun rose in Regina at 6:33 this morning, and the sun will set at around 7:32 tonight. Taking a look around the province, in Assiniboia, 7 degrees, Estevan is at 6, Mooseman, 4, Saskatoon, 5, Swift Current, 10, Yorkton and Melville, 3, and Weyburn is at 8 degrees. Hot spot in the province is in Leader at 12.1 degrees, and the cold spot in Collins Bay at -3.4. In Regina, mostly cloudy sky, south-southwest wind at 23 kilometers an hour, humidity at 73%, the temperature 5 degrees or 40 Fahrenheit, the barometric pressure at 101.0 and falling. In Moose Jaw, mostly cloudy, southwest wind at 33 to 43 kilometers an hour, the temperature also at 5 degrees. Again in Regina, mostly cloudy, south-southwest wind at 23, temperature 5 degrees. Coming up next, after the break, I spoke with the CEO of the Saskatchewan Cattlemen's Association, Grant McClellan. This was a little while back, the week around the provincial budget was being released, around mid-March or so. I had a little bit of a surprise to find out that he was down in Mexico when I called him. We'll find out more why he was there right after the break.
Catch up with all your ag news anytime at saskagtoday.com. Now, back to Saskag Today with Ryan Young on 620 CKRM.
This portion of Sask Ag Today is brought to you by McDougall Auctioneers, where you're guaranteed the best buying and selling experience, McDougallAuction.com, and Pattison Liquid Systems, experts in liquid fertilizer distribution. Fertilizer's just better when it's wetter. Pattison Liquid Systems, expect the best. The CEO of the Saskatchewan Cattlemen's Association was down in Mexico about a couple of weeks ago, but it wasn't for a vacation. As Grant McClellan tells us, he was there as part of a delegation to tour ranch operations.
Yeah, so last fall, during Agribition, Mexico had sent a delegation of actually 20 producers and operators and buyers up to Agribition. And they purchased a large number of animals, including the park, and there's interest in varieties like Hereford and Angus. So we're down here as part of the group that is working with the Saskatchewan Trade Office here in Mexico to tour some operations down here and see what we can help bring to continue Mexico's interest and investment in our market.
So while you're touring these ranches and different operations, what are you seeing there that's kind of noticeable or notable compared to ranches here in Saskatchewan?
Well, certainly the conditions are very dry, and we're looking at some of the work that they're doing in terms of bringing some hybrids along. In particular, the one breed that we saw a lot of today was Beringus, which is Brahman and Angus. And so these are animals that have been crossbred to, you know, make them a little hardier in the warm and dry conditions in Mexico. And so certainly there's an interest for us as producers in Saskatchewan dealing with drought conditions to see how those genetics are working out.
All right. And so this is kind of basically a way to, you know, collaborate and, you know, kind of deepen relations between Saskatchewan and Mexico?
That's certainly accurate. And I mean, Mexico is a very important market to Canadian producers and Saskatchewan producers, especially in light of some of the changes to the country of origin labeling that's just been reintroduced in the United States.
Grant McClellan is the CEO of the Saskatchewan Cattlemen's Association. Up next, we'll head over to Alberta to see what they're up to. Apparently, there's some changes made relating to trucking regulations and rules around there. We'll learn more about it right after the break. You're listening to Sask Ag Today on 620 CKRM.
You're tuned in to Sask Ag Today on your voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
This segment of Sask Ag Today is brought to you by Degelman Industries. Look to Degelman for the most reliable, dependable, engineered tough equipment on the market. And Arcola Building Supplies, small town lumberyard, big on service. ArcolaBuildingSupplies.com. Late last week, the Alberta government announced a new learning pathway to replace the mandatory entry-level training when it comes to Class 1 driving licenses. Melt, as it's called, has been identified by the trucking industry as a major factor that's leading to driver shortages. Alberta Transport Minister Devin Drishin spoke with reporters about some of the changes.
Alberta's government is implementing a new Made in Alberta learning pathway for commercial truck drivers that will enhance opportunities for training and career growth for drivers and ensure safety on our roads. This new apprenticeship-style model provides commercial drivers with a career path as a professional truck driver. Aligned with the recommendations from our MELT review, we are also responding to the unique needs of Alberta farmers by exempting farm families from the requirement for formal pre-licensed training to obtain a farm-restricted Class 1 driver's license. The new farm-restricted driver's license will allow farmers and their family members to operate Class 1 vehicles within Alberta only and for authorized farm use only. Farmers who are eligible for the new farm-restricted Class 1 driver's license must still complete a knowledge test, a road test, vision screening, and submit a driver medical assessment. So overall, this new Made in Alberta learning pathway will ensure that all of Alberta's commercial truck drivers have the best training in the country and feel engaged in their careers.
That's Alberta's Transport Minister, Devin Drishin. You're listening to Sask Ag Today. When we come back, we'll have a look at how the grain prices at Viterra were doing. Quite a bit of activity to start the new work week. And following that is the livestock report. Keep it tuned here to 620 CKRM. Sask Ag Today will return right after the break.
Here's the market update with Ryan Young on 620 CKRM.
Grain prices at Viterra were, I guess we'll call it, mixed in early trading today. I'll let you be the judge of that. Durham is down $10.28 to $387.37. Canola is up $9.70 to $597.52. Feedwheat is up $21.07 to $233.45. And number one red spring wheat is down $1.80 to $295.84. And then the rest were unchanged. Feed barley, $227.58. Chickpeas, $992.08. Flax, $606.04. Lentils, $721.50. Oats, $273.32. Yellow peas, $474.72. On the Minneapolis Grain Exchange, hard red spring wheat for May is down 11.25 cents to $6.33.75 a bushel. Coming up next is the Livestock Report.
The Sask Ag Today Livestock Reports on your voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
The livestock quotes are brought to you by the Weyburn Livestock Exchange. Call Weyburn Livestock at 842-4574. Now here are the latest livestock quotes.
Heartland Livestock Market Report. It's Brett Jensen reporting from the Swift Current Yards. Last week we had 300 head on offer, and here's how it went. The good cows, they traded from $1.60 to $1.78. Sales up to $185. The medium cows, they're bringing closer to $1 to $1.50. The good bulls, they traded up to $179. We have lots of bulls trading from $160 up to $170. Heiferettes and feeding cows are bringing anywhere from $180 to $240 a pound. Upcoming sales this Thursday, April the 4th, 9:30 a.m., we're going to have a pre-sort internet sale with about 1,500 head of feeder cattle on offer. For further information, give us a call, 773-3174. Canada's source for quality, Heartland Livestock in Swift Current.
Now here are the latest pork prices.
This is Bill Alford with the Hams Market Commentary for Monday, April 1st. Hams sold 6,700 hogs Thursday, selling a range of $204 to $217 per CKG. Today's sales are expected to be around 5,500 head, selling a range of $204 to $217 per CKG. 100 index hog prices for the week ending Saturday, March 30th are Ole West 2020, 203.30, Ole West 2021, 215.60, Maple Leaf Sig 4, 203.51, Hams Cash, 201.51, Thunder Creek Brick Co., 201.48, High Life Cash, 216.58, and High Life Contract, $218.91 per CKG. Hams Cash hog price today is up, and four contract prices opened lower this morning. On Thursday, Canadian dollar was up 20 basis points, with the daily exchange rate at 1.3550. The Canadian dollar is currently trading at 73.72 cents U.S. The quarterly hogs and pigs report didn't offer much in the way of establishing a solid rationale for the market to move in a clear path in any direction when it was published after trading on Thursday afternoon. And those looking for a reason to support their bias can likely find it if they look hard enough. We would call the report neutral, with low farrowing intentions potentially offset by a record high pigs per litter number pegged at 11.53 or 4.6% higher than a year ago. Total pig crop and hogs kept for marketing numbers explain the relatively high slaughter numbers seen today, although the USDA reported that hogs weighing over 180 pounds were 0.6% lower than the numbers seen last year. Breeding herd numbers were down 2.1%, and although the reduction in that category was expected, it was 0.9% higher than the 3% average reduction market watchers were expecting ahead of the report. Meanwhile, lean hog futures are trading higher through mid-trade after initially opening lower when the market opened in Chicago.
Coming up next is the Resource Report.
It's the Sask Ag Today Resource Reports on 620 CKRM. Here's Ryan Young.
The national price on pollution is going up another $15 per ton today. The price change means filling a 50-liter tank with gas will cost another $1.65. A natural gas heating bill will rise over $5 a month, and filling a propane tank for your barbecue will cost an extra 55 cents. The federal government is also adjusting the Canada carbon rebate to reflect the higher carbon costs, starting with the next payment on April 15th. For example, a family of four in Alberta will see the quarterly payment increase by about $64, while it will go up by about $36 in Ontario, Manitoba, and Saskatchewan. The Bank of Canada says consumer and business sentiment both improved during the first quarter of the year, despite higher interest rates. The central bank released its business outlook and consumer expectations surveys today, which both show increased optimism and an overall expectation that interest rate cuts are close at hand. While firms did report weak demand, indicators of business conditions, sales outlook, and employment intentions improved after several quarters of decline. Almost two-thirds of Canadian consumers are cutting or postponing spending due to high inflation and interest rates, but they are less pessimistic about the future of the economy. On the markets, the TSX is down 32 points at 22,134. The Dow is down 272 points to 39,535. Oil is up 85 cents at $84.02 per barrel, and the Canadian dollar is at 73.60 cents U.S. And that's the Resource Report. If you missed any segment of the show, you can tune in to the on-demand Sask Ag Today podcast, brought to you by Gowan Canada. Gowan Canada understands the challenges growers face and takes pride in finding effective crop protection solutions. Visit GowanCanada.com to learn more. You can find the podcast at saskagtoday.com and at 620ckrm.com. And that's going to do it for Monday's edition of Sask Ag Today. Just want to thank today's guests, Bill Grohl, Grant McClellan, and Adam Bacallo, for joining today's show. I'm Ryan Young. Have yourself a nice day.
This podcast brought to you by Gowan Canada, makers of Edge Microactive pre-emergent herbicide.